This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Mike Rooney will join us coming up here in about a half an hour. We'll look forward to that as he breaks down the Super Regionals. And one of those will include Columbia, South Carolina. No, the Gamecocks are out. They're done. They're not playing. But Virginia is, and they're not leaving Columbia for a while. After getting rid of Old Dominion in dramatic style, the guy that did it was our next guest. Devin Ortiz went yard, walked it off, and punched the ticket. And he now joins us live. Devin, first of all, congratulations on getting to the Super Regionals. But I kid around with you, that game on Tuesday, that thing after the seventh inning, man, that thing was about as circus act as I've ever seen. That was a wild baseball game.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me. I mean, it was one of the craziest games I think we've all been a part of in the program. So, just to come out on top of that one, you know, it was a nail biter, but it was a great experience.
All right, Devin, you've been around enough to kind of get a feel for Brian O'Connor and, you know, all these type of elimination games, big games and that type deal. So you get to Tuesday morning, obviously rain has just scrambled the whole 24 to 48 hours. So what's the temperament like for a 9 o'clock start with you guys?
It was, you didn't hear anyone complain about it. Obviously it's a 9 a.m. game, but it's one of the most important games of our season. You know, it's win or go home. So a lot of guys, you know, just went to bed early. We went to bed early and we got up, woke up, ate some good breakfast and we got after it.
What was more nerve-rattling for you? Knowing you're going to start Game 7, you and your two innings pitch, and then you just mow them down for four, or ending it and the way it was, where, hey, listen, man, we got to score, and then you go yard. So you were really on both ends of the spectrum. You were kind of the focal point. So what was more nerve-wracking, the beginning or the end?
I would say the beginning for sure because – I mean, you don't know what's going to happen in the end, especially when you hit that, you know, as a homer, you're not trying to hit one. I was just trying to hit a line drive and sometimes, you know, it works out. So definitely just leading up to the start, I wanted to give a quality start. I wanted at least to go 4 to 5 innings. I mean, I know I haven't pitched much throughout the season, so I was just trying to give my best out there. And, you know, with the short bullpen that we had, especially playing the 5 games in the 4 or 5 days, it was, you know, I was just trying to go as far as I can. And so, yeah, I'd say pitching was definitely more nerve-wracking.
All right. So you mentioned you've only got a couple innings in the books, right? So you're going back out there to start this ball game. So what are you thinking? Give them the heater, Ricky. I mean, what are you doing? Are you just going to go out there and throw fastball, curveball, and hope it works out? I mean, you got some kind of philosophy going. What are you thinking about when you're going to get this start Tuesday?
Oh, man. So, like, at first I was thinking, you know, give him the heater. I wanted to, you know, throw a lot of fastballs. But then as I started warming up, I realized how tired I was getting just because I haven't built any stamina throughout the season. So I really realized later that I had to start working in some off-speed pitches and mix and matching a little bit.
Devin, not only – I think what gets lost, too, is that, all right, they're going to – Virginia says, all right, Devin, you're our guy. Let's go. But you're also coming off a win against Old Dominion in which your pitching staff strikes out 24 guys, which I'm a baseball nut. I can't remember another game where I've seen a team strike out 24 times. And you're taking on an Old Dominion club that can flat-out play. So you know they're ticked off. They've had to hear about it. You get the rain delay, a delay of the game. Now you're going on the mound. You're thinking, hey, man, I'm just trying to get this thing between the ditches here. Let's get moving on down the road. And you know you're taking on a good club who struck out at everything they looked at. So I think mentally you had to kind of go over some hurdles, didn't you, in terms of, hey, let me just get this thing moving forward and hopefully we can just hang in there.
Yeah, Brandon Meek and Griff McGarry, and they pounded the zone on Monday night. Sunday night. And, you know, I mean, it was an incredible performance by them. And going into that, I thought, you know, Old Dominion's going to be hungry to come out and swing the bats even more now because of the game before. So I was – that even adds on some more pressure because now I'm thinking they're going to really want to, you know, smack me around, you know? So, I was just, you know, really happy with what happened and just couldn't be more thankful.
All right. You guys have stayed in Columbia, right? The election to stay in town, to get to the super regional at this neutral site. Some would say there's some pros and cons to that. Give me the positives. We're not going to get into the negatives. Give me the positives of staying in one site to spend this week to get ready for the Super against DBU.
Yeah, I would say the first thing is, you know, we don't have to travel right now. We can just kind of stay put. Obviously, we're still in the hotel rooms. And another positive, we've played 5 games on this field already. So it's, you know, it's not really foreign to us right now. And, you know, all of our pitchers know how the mound feels, you know, the position players know how the field plays, and the batters know how the batter's box is. So I think, you know, those are pros in our case that, you know, we've played at this field. We know the vibe that this field has and we're looking forward to Saturday.
Devin, I'll give you another positive. The fact that you eliminated the University of South Carolina and you're still playing on their field, you're in their town, you're eating their food, you're helping the economy. For any South Carolina fans that show up for the weekend to give you guys the business, you've already heard their material. It's like, yeah, that's cool. Scoreboard. I mean, so you got all that going for you already. I mean, it's like, hey, you know, Shock is out there already talking trash to the guys that are on his case. He's like, yeah, I remember eliminating you guys. So, you know, what Virginia did to South Carolina in football in the bowl game, shutting them out a couple years ago. Now the baseball team comes down there and eliminates the Gamecock baseball program. You know, I'm not sure they're going to allow you in Columbia much longer, to be honest with you.
Yeah, we're going to have to get out of here pretty soon. They're going to run us out of here.
Well, you know what? There's nothing better than going from Columbia to Omaha. And I know you guys are probably thinking about that. And 2015, again, the national championship run for the Hoos. And again, this is why you guys play hard, man, to be in a position to play this weekend for the opportunity to be in Omaha next week. And I know you don't want to drift a little bit in terms of thinking down the road because Dallas Baptist is a really, really good program. But, man, it's got a cool feeling given the way this team got started this year, really behind the gates. And we kept waiting for you guys to get cranked up. And now that you have, watch out. I think you guys are dangerous.
Yeah, man, I mean, you look at where we were at the beginning of the season and a lot of people look at this team and say this team has no shot to be in the position where we're at. Or if you, you know, have a conversation with one another, someone's probably going to say, oh, you think this team will be in a super regional in June? And a lot of people would say no. But that's something that we never doubted, no matter the position that we were in. So the fact that, you know, we turned the season around when we had to, it's not how you start, it's how you finish, and we're extremely proud about that.
All right, Devin, we had Coach O'Connor on here last week, and we're talking about the start and then the turning point and now the run on the backside of that clearly is still in progress. In your mind, was it a series of things, or was there one in particular detail of this season that you felt like the switch just got flipped?
Yeah, so I'm pretty sure maybe Coach O'Connor's mentioned this already. We had a team meeting after our first loss on Friday against Georgia Tech. And it was, you know, some serious, you know, things were being said in there, and it was basically just the reality of our season. Obviously, you know, before the season started, a lot of guys wanted, you know, we all stepped up and we had, you know, we all had talks as teams together, and everyone's goal was to, you know, make it to Omaha and win a national championship. But as that season started, you know, we were 4-12 in the ACC. So when we had that talk at Georgia Tech, it was basically what we needed to do to have that plan, have that dream for us come true. So a lot of guys bought into that. I wouldn't say it flipped switched immediately. It was something that we had to gradually do throughout, you know, the rest of our games. And, you know, it wasn't, like I said, an immediate switch. You know, it came as the season progressed. We were scratching and clawing for wins, and our backs were against the wall the whole season. So losing the first game here in in Columbia, yeah, we knew one game away we were going to, you know, if we lost one more game, our season was done. So it was something that, you know, kind of we were playing like that the whole season, you know.
For the folks in Columbia, they're not going to do this for you, but I'm going to ask anyhow. What would be the appropriate walk-up music for you in Columbia?
For me?
Yeah.
I like a little EDM music or some Spanish music to play.
Well, Spanish music, huh? Yeah, you know, I'm not sure they've got that in the repertoire in Colombia, Devin. I'm going to be honest with you. You know, other than maybe a cold beer at 5 points, I don't think we're going to go with any Spanish music for you. But nevertheless, you got the word out, so maybe they'll treat you for a little surprise for that series. Who knows?
All right, last thing from me here, Devin. The nation is starting to find out who Stephen Schock is. He was on this program about 3-4 weeks ago, and maybe longer than that now. Just it seems like they're all run together this time of year, Pack. So, but we got a taste of it in our visit then. What else do we need to know about the closer here? He's got the perfect closer's mentality. There's no doubt about that. But he's got to be a guy who winds things up for the ball club as a whole.
Yeah, Steve is the glue of our team. What you saw in that interview, and I'm sure you guys already know, that is who Stephen Schock is. That is who he is to the T. That wasn't planned. That wasn't scripted. That's just, you know, that guy just comes up with things like that, and you just laugh it off. And before the video even went viral about the Dippin' Dots and the caves, we just laughed at it because we knew who that Steve. We knew who Steve was. So, I mean, a funny story that we had was and we were playing in Florida State at the beginning of our season, and we had bases loaded on a Sunday game, and it was like one run. We had a one run lead, and they had bases loaded, no outs, and a play at the plate went under review. And you know, the infielders, when I was playing first base, the infielders kind of, you know, gravitate towards him just to, you know, talk a little bit. And all of us, you know, are kind of like, oh man, this game's crazy, man. You know, we're kind of like, you know, itching just to get out of the inning. And Steve turns around, and you would think that he's, you know, in that closer mentality still. And he just turns around and he goes, smiles at us and goes, ah, sports. sports. And smiles. And I look at him, I'm like, are you kidding? Like, yeah. We're all looking at each other like, is this serious right now? And then he proceeds to get out of the game and through the night.
So that's great. So Devin, it really is like the manager, the pitching coach in Bull Durham going to the mound, and they turn to him and say, well, we're looking for the wedding gift, right? I mean, it really is. That's Steven. It's, well, candlesticks make a nice gift, right? I mean, he's that guy.
Yeah, he's 100% that guy.
That's fantastic. All right, Melissa, before we let you go and get ready for Dallas Baptist, since you've been at the University of Virginia, Devin, what has been your hardest class?
My hardest class was probably physics.
Ugh. Oh.
Yeah.
You're straight up now.
I had to take physics as a requirement. It was normal level physics class intro, and it just was not not fun at all.
Yeah, that just that sounds miserable.
If physics were a pitch and you were trying to hit it, Devin, what would physics be?
I'll tell you what it is, Devin. I'll tell you what it is. It's that pitch that kid from Old Dominion threw twice back to back against the stop. Up in the net. That's what it was. It's unhittable. That's what that wild pitch was, 18 feet above the catcher's mitt. That's physics right there. That's what it is.
How's that? That's good.
Is that right?
Sure.
Yeah, we're going with it. We're going with it.
There you go.
Hey, listen, we look forward to watching you guys again from Columbia, man. Keep it up, and best of luck, and wishing you a quick trip to Omaha if you can pull it off. It'd be awesome.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much.
You got it,
Devin. Thank you guys so much for having me. Y'all have a great day.
You too, man. Take care.
You too. Devin Ortiz. Ah, sports.
Shock's unbelievable. He's great. By the way, can I comment one quick thing? I know we're running late. I'm going to say it again because I keep an eye on this kind of stuff. Not that I'm a fashionista. However, the Virginia gear.
I like the hoodie.
I thought the hoodie was strong. Didn't you? Huh? I mean, the old
letter hoodie matches the Virginia on the jerseys.
I liked it.
Like Virginia. The hoodies.
Yeah. Carla Williams, if you're watching, just saying.
Carla. Carla, Pac needs one of those hoodies, Carla.
Nice. By the way, speaking of nice stuff, this for Boston, right? This for is Boston. Coming at the end of the show, right? Just saying. That was delivered the other day. We're opening it today.
You got a box? I got a box.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham on a Thursday.
How are we doing on this show? It's great to be back.
I hope everybody's relieved. I hope everybody's relieved and relaxed and ready to roll because you better get ready.
Yep.
Whatever you got to take care of, you better take care of it early because this afternoon it is the ultimate loser leave town match. We got Oklahoma, winner last night, Florida State. Somebody's walking away as the new national champion. And unfortunately for the Noles, had a chance to do it last night. Wes got off to a great start. Elizabeth Mason goes yard first inning. You're thinking, man, Florida State is on a roll. They've got Oklahoma's number. But they just couldn't do much after that second inning. Give Oklahoma a lot of credit. That's again.
No.
So the reason they've only lost four games all year. This Oklahoma team's really, really talented too. But we're going to have ourselves some kind of game this afternoon.
I agree with you on that. The other part about it is too, Mark, Oklahoma scores so many runs a game that when you allow them six, that's actually well below their average. What is it, almost 9.5 or 10 a game, I think, during the regular season.
Right.
They've hit all these home runs, like the Oakland A's of the late 80s, seemingly. But the idea is you hold Oklahoma to only about six runs. You think, well, we may have a chance. But here's the deal. You didn't get enough on the board early, right? You didn't get enough momentum. You had some singles and stuff after the Mason home run in the first. Now, and I said this in the first hour today, I kind of like the fact that you're turning around, processing, and bang, you're going to play again. You're going to play again today after a tough loss last night. And you know what? Both Patty Guzzo and Lonnie Alameda have done just such a phenomenal job with these programs. This has got a chance to be a spectacular ball game this afternoon.
Well, here's what I love about it. Number one, both of them are really talented. I mean, really talented. Mm-hmm. And they play different styles. I think that's what's made this an interesting series because Oklahoma pounds it. Everything's a hard hit. I don't care what they do. But they're going to go yard, and Florida State will get you on base and use speed. So you have total different contrasts of styles as far as these two teams. And now the fact that, hey, we've had two games. Florida State won game one comfortably. Oklahoma came back to take care of business last night, winning 6-2. Now, hey, with this crowd, and again, Florida State has lived. I mean, they have lived like nobody's business in games in which elimination is at stake. They've won eight consecutive elimination games. They are absolutely going to feel like the underdog. They're on the road. This is a road game for Oklahoma. I don't care what anybody says. You got 13,000 there screaming, most of them rooting for the Sooners. So it is just a great scene. I know there's a lot of people been complaining about, man, this game should be in prime time. Well, guess what? Mother Nature kind of screwed up the schedule for the College World Series, and we're unfortunately going to have to play the game in the afternoon. But the good news is it's still going to be on television. You can check it out. And like I said, the series, the tournament has been fantastic. And we're going to have a worthy national champion. Now, from our perspective here on ACC Network, we hope that it's all about Florida State. And Lonnie's on here crying and hugging everybody and laughing and everything else. But it's been a joy to watch. I mean, both teams have been great. And again, the contrast of styles makes this a really, really tremendous game today.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. In fact, Elizabeth Mason talked about after the ball game last night, she was asked about the stakes of today and kind of how you handle the moment.
there's two teams left in the nation right now. I think every game we play at this point, it's like a free game of softball. You know, you get to go out there one more time, put the jersey on, play with your sisters to the left and the right of you, and, you know, just get after the sport that you've been playing your whole life. I don't think anyone expected us to be here. So the fact that we're here is, you know, to me, it's just a blessing to be able to play one more pitch, one more hit, whatever, one more inning, whatever the situation may be. So it would have been great to win today, but it'll be great to win tomorrow too. So
Elizabeth has it totally in perspective. She joined us last week, and again, class act, mm-hmm. handles herself the right way. I mean, easy person to root for. And again, yep. like I said, I said this earlier. I think much like lacrosse, when they went through their Final Four in the championships that were won by Virginia and Boston College, respectively, the sport won. I think the same thing with softball. Those are two sports here in the spring, yeah. lacrosse and softball, that have received a ton of national exposure, and the quality of play is so good. The ladies are so athletic. They're tremendous mm-hmm. interviews. They're fun to be around. I think the sport has just come out like a humongous winner through this entire process, regardless of who wins the championship this afternoon.
Yeah, I agree with you on that, too. Remember now, they went to this championship series, best of three, back in 2005. This is the sixth time since then that a team has forced game three after losing the first game. In three of the previous five, the winner of that game two has gone on to win the national title. So we'll be keeping an eye on that. That stat, combined with the one Pac talked about, Florida State and elimination games, is a big, big note going into this afternoon's 3 o'clock first pitch over on ESPN.
And Florida State trying to become the second team to be a double-digit seed to win the College World Series. The first was able to do it was Oklahoma, ironically, also as a 10 seed back in 2017. And, of course, the Noles are trying to do yep. exactly what they did in 2018, where they lost the first game. And then guess what?
Yep.
Rode it and took care of business and brought the title back to Tallahassee. So, again, great storylines, two great programs, big-time talent, standing room only. The only thing missing is a primetime slot on television. But other than that, it's been a 10 on a 10 scale.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
All right, let's get ready because we get the championship in softball this afternoon. Tomorrow, NC State rolls into number one Arkansas. Saturday, Notre Dame's heading down to Stark Vegas. Saturday, Dallas Baptist is in Columbia to take on Virginia. Those are your three ACC teams in the Super Regionals, and who better to break it down than our man Mike Rooney, who was spectacular in squeeze play. He and Schick and the rest of the crew.
Spectacular.
Mike. First of all, congratulations over the weekend. That was great television. And on top of that, not only did you guys rock it, but the games were great. That's a perfect combination.
Yeah, well, I appreciate it. It was super fun. It was people ask, hey, what's that squeeze play deal all about? And I just said, hey, like, picture being in our 20s again. We're going to a sports bar and just watching sports all day. You control every TV. You know, there's no fatigue because you're in your 20s again. And you're right. The games were so compelling. It was awesome.
Yeah, I remember my 20s, Pac. There was no fatigue.
Listen.
That's right. It was a different time.
No disrespect. We do sports for a living. Yeah, I feel like I'm in my 20s still, even though I'm 110. I mean,
that's true.
If you just say, hey, Pac, you got to go mow the yard, edge, blow, cut that's work. I mean, sitting around watching baseball, watching sports, and BSing about it. Now, I got to tell you, Mike, it's a pretty good gig, especially if somebody's dumb enough to pay you.
That's right. It's a good gig. Yeah, sit there and watch sports and just think out loud. It was
right.
Great.
That's not a bad deal.
All right. Hey, Mike, let's go to the three ACC schools here. And Pac and I were just talking about it. You got this weird neutral site deal with Virginia and Dallas Baptist. Everybody kind of understands it in the COVID year. You got NC State going way up a steep hill at Arkansas, but the Wolfpack kind of comes in there riding a lot of momentum. You don't go to Ruston and wear out Louisiana Tech and not gain something from it. And then you got Nico Cavadas pulling his best Gorman Thomas impression.
Who?
Brewers. For Notre Dame. And going to Starkville to play, you know, in one of the great environments we all know in college baseball with the left field lounge and everything else. So who's got the hardest trip here? Who? I'm going to say Virginia's probably three on that list. But of those other two, who's got the steepest hill to climb, I guess?
Yeah, I would say it's a good question. I would say NC State, just because Arkansas has been so, you know, incredible this year. You know, I've told everyone, Arkansas's got a beautiful team. They really do. I mean, you know, you've got a relief pitcher who is going to win the Golden Spikes Award. You know, this Kevin Copps kid, he's our version, college baseball's version of Mariano Rivera. It's one pitch that nobody can deal with. And, you know, he's bionic. It's like there is no – he can take on any workload for Arkansas. And then you factor in, you know, the thing I like about Arkansas's team is they're so good up the middle. Catcher, shortstop, second base, center field. I mean, those kids are all probably big leaguers. And then you factor in the crowd. You know, it's the environment in Fayetteville is insanity. And so NC State has got a steep hill. That said, I agree with you guys. NC State was you know, they played outstanding in Ruston. Their offense is, you know, is out. You know, it's their position player group. They play a high level of defense. They're really offensive. I think that their position player group is every bit as good as Arkansas's. And I think NC State has done a nice job figuring out their pitching. They really have five arms that are going to be the key arms, and they make that work. So, hey, and they've only got to beat Arkansas twice. So, you know, I think it's a tall task, no question about it. But NC State is really interesting right now.
Mike, this is a strange question. And so let me kind of frame it and then let you run with it, because you really do know the game. Everybody expects Arkansas to win not only this series, but expects them to go to Omaha and win it all and become the first team this century to be the number one national seed to win it all. We haven't seen that since Miami in 99. So there's a pressure on Arkansas unlike any other team that's still remaining. Everybody expects them to be there, right? I also thought that Nebraska did a great job, not only beating Arkansas to force the Game 7, but also taking the lead and really putting all the pressure in the world on Arkansas to have to defend, which to their credit, they did with the grand slam in the eighth. And you mentioned Copps coming in and giving you seven innings of relief of giving up nothing. But there, I think there's a pressure on the Hogs, given what woulda, coulda, shoulda, the last time they were in Omaha, catch the drop, you know, drop fly ball, you lose the world. Shoulda won it, but they didn't. This seems to be their year. But there's all the pressure on them that, hey, Tag, you're it. I think if you're NC State, you're playing with supreme confidence. You played great at Louisiana Tech, another rock and rolling joint. Folks in Ruston, no good baseball, and they make life miserable. They swept all those games. They're playing their best baseball of the year. Is NC State equipped, given that all the pressure is on Arkansas, that if they can get on top and keep Copps out of there and win game one, boy, you put a lot of pressure on Arkansas with a really talented team.
Yeah, I would say, Pac, I agree 100%. There's a lot of pressure on Arkansas right now. And we saw it in their regional. You know, Nebraska really pressured them. And the first six innings of the game, it felt like Arkansas was on their heels a little bit. And I would say the weakness for Arkansas is they really are struggling in their rotation. You know, that they're besides Patrick Wicklander, you know, Peyton Paulette is out right now, who had been their Saturday guy, and he hadn't been great either. But they really are not getting quality starts at all. And so then they have to go to Copps early in the game. And, I mean, they had to go against, you know, NJIT. They had to go to Copps in the fourth inning. That shouldn't happen. And so I agree. But I think the advantage Arkansas has is there's two parts. Number one is they're just absolutely stinking really good. You know, like it's pressure is one thing, but when you're awesome, you're awesome. And they are. And I think the other thing is they're used to playing from behind because they're not getting good starting pitching. So I think getting behind early in a game does not spook that team. That said, you know, hey, Evan Justice is a real reliever for NC State. I mean, that dude's got really good stuff. And I think the formula for NC State is definitely get leads early in games and you know, ratchet that pressure up on Arkansas, and then, you know, and see if Justice can, you know, maybe not outpitch Copps, but at least hang with them.
All right, Mike, I want to pivot to Starkville. Now, I know you got some ties here to the Irish a little bit, but Link Jarrett's a great story. If Link Jarrett can get Notre Dame to the College World Series in his first, let's be honest, first full year of doing this because of last year and the shortened year with COVID and everything, this will be a hell of a story. This will be a great story in college baseball because he's doing it with the chemistry of older guys who were from the Mick Aoki resume, if you will, and guys like Cavadas and Miller and some of these other guys that have been there 4 and 5 years who came back on the bet that Link Jarrett was going to get this opportunity. And they bought kind of his buy-in, and now here they are 2 wins away from doing it.
Yeah, the Notre Dame thing is fascinating. You know, we kept waiting for them to turn into a pumpkin, and they kept not doing it. And then I think, you know, what they did in the regional, it was remarkable. You know, obviously Notre Dame's players and Link Jarrett were upset about being a top eight, not being a top eight national seed, and I think they have every right to be upset about that. You know, the ACC champ, and especially they did it in dominant fashion, should be a top eight national seed, but they weren't. And I thought they had a really difficult regional. Central Michigan is very good. Michigan was in the College World Series finals a couple years ago. Connecticut, you know, it's their 7th regional in the last 11 years. And Notre Dame just ran roughshod over it. They have a really unique and interesting team. They can play a lot of styles. You know, you had mentioned how it's a very old cerebral team. It almost reminds me of kind of like a Gonzaga basketball, where they play a kind of advanced style of play. And then, you know, Nico Cavadas just got hot. And so, you know, I think that the questions for me in Starkville are, how do they handle the crowd? Because it's nutty. I mean, it's 15,000 crazy people, you know, and I mean that as a compliment. You know, like, they love their college baseball down there. And then, you know, Mississippi State's pitching staff has got tremendous velocity. I mean, you know, everybody throws 95 plus. And how does Nico Cavadas handle that velocity? Because I do think he's not the only part of their offense, but I think he's, you know, arguably the most important part of their offense.
You know, when you start hitting 15 bombs in a regional, sometimes I think you just become, hey, I don't care what they throw, we're going to hit it and hit it hard. I'm curious to see if they can take that mentality of what happened at home in South Bend to that environment you're talking about, Mike, and when you're seeing velocity, because you either can hit it or you can't. It's an A or a B, and there's not a C. So I suspect that this, in my opinion, and you know this business better than I do, but in my opinion, I think this is the most interesting of the three super regionals with ACC teams. Because if you told me, hey, Notre Dame's going to get swept or sweep, I'd go, okay, which one happens? I don't know. This is going to be fascinating.
I would agree. I think this one is fascinating. And I also think that Notre Dame is fairly well set up to play a Mississippi State. You know, Mississippi State, if you're looking for holes in their boat, they have not played great defense, especially in the infield. And Link Jarrett's offense is designed to pressure an infield. And so, you know, I'm not saying Mississippi State's infield is horrific, but they have kicked the ball around at times. And so I'll be really interested to see if Link Jarrett tries to pressure that group. You know, the other thing is Mississippi State's lineup has not had great depth at times. And maybe that plays into Notre Dame not having great pitching depth. You know, Link Jarrett has really had to be, you know, every weekend they're not looking for sweeps. They're looking for 2 wins. Mm-hmm. They don't have the pitching to go sweep people. And so, yeah, I think you're right. This is maybe the most fascinating super regional.
All right, Mike, last thing from me here. NC State and Virginia are writing great comeback stories from early, rough, rugged starts. A lot of people thought they might be dusted, and they had phenomenal Aprils and Mays, right? In some ways, Notre Dame getting ripped by Virginia in the ACC tournament at Charlotte is fascinating to me because they had won the regular season. They get blown out by Virginia in Charlotte. And then all of a sudden, they come back with a vengeance last week with a team that, quite frankly, did not have a lot of postseason experience to it. They showed me a little something there. Of the three here, who's got the best chance to advance?
Yeah, I think I mean, I think you'd have to say Virginia just because of who they're playing. You know, Dallas Baptist has never been to Omaha. Virginia is a program that's done that. Dallas Baptist is still they're gonna. What's really remarkable about what DBU did is they won that game on Monday without their 3 and 4 hole hitters who got hurt in the regional. Now we think those kids are going to play, but it's Cole Moore and Jace Grady. We think those kids are going to play, but I don't think they're going to be 100%. So I think Virginia has got, you know, probably the best chance on paper. I will say though, Dallas Baptist is kind of it does. There's a little kind of team of destiny to them, but I think what you guys said about Virginia is spot on. That hey, they were a preseason top 15 team that they lost their first 5 ACC series. It was really dark, and those kids fought through that and figured it out. And I will tell you that Andrew Abbott is as good as any ace that's still in the tournament. So that's a real advantage for Virginia. You know, Stephen Schock has become a college baseball folk hero. You know, it's their bullpen is very, very good. So I think Virginia will have their hands full, but I think they're the one of these three teams that probably you'd call the favorite.
Mike, one more thing for me. To me, one of the cool things about the Super Regionals, number one, you have really good teams. That's a given. You don't get to this state without being able to really play. Number two, you talked about some of the great environments that the ACC teams will see this weekend in Stark Vegas and Fayetteville. And no disrespect to Columbia, South Carolina. They got great baseball fans and a tremendous facility. But it just seems weird to have a Super Regional where both DBU and UVA are at a neutral site. I know business is business. I get all that. You can't put the genie back in the bottle. But it's a shame that one of these two could not host this weekend.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It's just, you know, the thing that's tricky about the NCAA is they're not typically very public about why they make decisions.
Right.
And so, you know, we talked about that last weekend. You know, it's, and I'm sure there are reasons for that too, you know, but they basically had made the comment that, hey, you know, the 16 sites are the 16 sites and that's it. And, you know, I had made the comment that that's fine. I mean, hey, like the NCAA has done an amazing job putting this tournament on. I think it's the best thing that organization does. They're really good at running championships, but I just think it's funny, right? It almost comes off as, hey, well, we made this decision and that's where, you know, like that's the way it has to be. And it's, you know, it's kind of like, well, no, like, I mean, you can change your mind, like, actually, you know, like that's businesses do that every day. They make decisions and then the circumstances change and they change their mind. But, you know, that said, I'm not getting too hot and bothered about it because I think they have done a beautiful job putting this championship on. They always do. And, you know, we're just so thrilled to have, a championship. But, yeah, I mean, it's a bummer that Dallas Baptist or Virginia aren't hosting this thing because, those schools, it would be a huge deal for those schools, and they both have beautiful ballparks. Mm. But, hey, like you guys said, that's a fantastic park in Columbia. And, both of those teams are two wins from Omaha, and that's the most important thing, really.
Exactly right. Well, keep up the great work, man. Really awesome stuff.
Great to have you on, Mike. Appreciate it as always.
Appreciate it. Great seeing you guys. Be good.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham, final segment of a Thursday show, number 404, almost in the books. We will crown a new national champion in women's soccer, women's softball this afternoon with Florida State and Oklahoma. But Wes, one of your all-time favorite episodes is when there's long-term scheduling. And yesterday, an ACC team made some noise. This is right. This is right down your alley. Get your tickets ready. I mean, Alabama and BC going to hook up in Chestnut Hill.
Yeah,
10 years from now.
You bet. That's it. 10 years from now. Nick Saban just got a contract extension. He won't be there.
I don't know about that.
Because it's you in 2030.
I don't know about that.
I wouldn't challenge that. You're right. So 2031 and 2034 for Boston College and Alabama. And who knows how many teams will be in the college football playoff by then. But nonetheless, it is on the schedule 10 years from now. And congratulations to Pat Kraft and Jeff Hafley and Nick Saban and everybody else. So there you go.
All right. Speaking of,
it is my favorite topic, as you said.
You love it. You love those 2030 something game schedule stuff. That's right. That is right down Main Street.
Are you not with me on that?
Listen, I love it when Power Five schools want to play each other. And I anytime a Power Five plays a Power Five and they announce a home and home series, I always give it love on the afternoon radio show. But I mean, it's 10 years from now. So, you know, you got plenty of time to plan. All right, let's go from there. But speaking of Pat Kraft, all right, for Boston. All right, so we get a gift the other day, and I was going to open it yesterday. I was like, no, I'm going to wait. I'm all for the handwritten note. Let me find it in here. Oh, here we go. Because I got stuff. All right, so Pat sends this note. And it says, Mark, here is some women's lacrosse NB gear, right? Thank you for having me on last week. I had a blast. You guys are the best. Also had to add our lacrosse goggles, Wes. Lacrosse goggles.
Oh, yeah.
All right, I'm going to put these on here. Before.
No, wait. Put them on.
Let me finish this letter. Then we'll get to it. So he goes, I also had to add some lacrosse goggles. It will be a nice addition to the basement. Correct. True. Brought to you by Dish. Joseph.
True.
Joseph. Shout out to Joseph. 5 years old. Wanted to color a picture for you. He's very serious about his BC Eagles. All the best.
That a boy, Joseph.
Go Eagles. So not only do we get the handwritten note, which I love, my man Joseph, 5 years old, rocking it. Still worrying about the between the lines thing. We'll worry about that by the time you get to seven. When you're five, man, just grab some crayons and roll. Go with it. It doesn't matter. It's all good. So Joseph rocking the BC stuff, which we love. That'll go up on the board. Here is the national championship. National champions, BC lacrosse. Right? Pretty strong.
Got the national champion right there. Look at this logo. Right here on the sleeve.
Got it
right here on the sleeve.
All good stuff. This is a great care package. And then, of course, we got to get this ASAP before we're out of here today. No, Fuller, this is not for you.
Where's a stick? Did you get a stick? We don't have a stick. You just got goggles, huh?
Yeah.
National champs.
I don't think I got this on right.
You got to take the strap out. Oh, my Lord.
Here we go.
Okay.
There you go.
Oh.
I may just leave the tag on for street cred. Street cred.
Yeah, sure.
So there you go. Yeah, let me tell you something. I am going to be so spectacular. I'm telling you, Halloween between the Florida State spear, the Notre Dame mask, I got the lacrosse national championship and the goggles, brother. Let's roll. I am ready to go, and I am leaving the tag on for street cred.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.